Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today, we are talking about the junta. We are in the midst of it here in Toronto in Canada. We're going to talk about psychological ways to cope, why we should maybe all be jumping in cold water, and how nature can be sort of a refuge at times like this.
Can it really?
Immediate doubt.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, that was just a teaser for like, you know, you always got to give that bit that's like, and here's the answer, but is it? You'll have to wait and find out.
Hashtag science.
Happy 2021.
Happy America had a coup.
Yeah, like happy quote unquote democracy falling. That's a different episode, but yeah.
That is a different episode, but like, let's save it because I was like, when I was thinking of what we should do this week, I'm like, maybe we should do one about coups.
Oh, what does that word even mean? Coup d'etat.
Yeah, I've just seen those TikToks where they're like, it's not a coup from the coup d'etat. It's actually
It's like champagne.
Yeah,
like a coup
yeah.
Coup d'etat is like champagne. It's like, yeah. It has to be from a specific region.
America just had a sparkling wine authoritarian uprising.
Oh my gosh, how's your new year going? Like, I don't know, like, we don't live together.
Truly the same, which always freaks me out a little bit. We have a pretty viral video called Why New Year Sucks, and that's kind of why you're like, you're expecting things to be different. Then when things are the same, you get sad because you're like, hey, then we're supposed to be different.
God.
How's yours?
Well, this one especially. This was a very strange New Year's Eve, New Year, even Christmas. Like, we didn't see our families. We Zoomed them. And I don't know. It's just odd. And to, like, we had fun on New Year's Eve because you got us to do Just Dance at the drop of midnight. Greg was like, and we're doing a dance.
We did Part of Me, Katy Perry. This is the part of me. I was like, 2020, you can't have all of me. Part of me is for me. And pump it, pump it, pump it.
It actually helped. Yeah, it felt good. But then it was like done and we were like, I guess we'll go to bed now.
The quote unquote ball drop. Oh, my balls dropped. Ball drop moment was very lackluster. Like when they were like, Happy New Year from like the guitarist, like 6 feet away from like Jan Arden or whoever the Canadian one was. Yeah. And we looked at each other and like, cheers. Like it was definitely like
anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But so, like, what a better way to end that year, you know, the year that shall not be named.
Yeah, and hopefully 2021.
I did rewatch every Harry Potter over the Christmas break, and so that was in my head.
I care about J.K. Rowling or anything.
No, that's true. Honestly, it gives me conflicting feelings, but I just was like, they have a lot of I don't love a lot of different Christmas movies, and then someone pointed out to me that most Harry Potters have Christmas scenes. So I was like, oh, that's like a fun way to watch kind of a movie that has like action, whatever, and also Christmas elements.
Because isn't it just because they go through the year, so they're always like, yeah. It's the fall, and then now it's like Christmas.
Exactly, and there's always like a scene in the movies where they're like getting gifts, or they're going home for Christmas or those kind of things. And there's like the castle gets like decorated with Christmas decorations.
But is it always like the climax occurs in spring towards the end of the year? Or is there ever like a half year, you know, movie?
Now that you say it, I don't know. I think the first couple are like always kind of weirdly around the year structure of school because they always end like the first bunch end with them like going home at the end of the year. But the later ones become like, especially the last ones, it's like.
And I didn't watch them because I think, you know, they later ones certainly become a mess. I was obsessed with the books and I really hated the movies.
Yeah, it was easier to rewatch them having not read the books in a long time because I wasn't like thinking about all the things that they didn't include.
And you weren't thinking about how J.K. Rowling's evil.
But the end of the sixth one is destroyed. Like, the book is so good at the
end.
It's
so good.
And they just actually took it all out because they were like, we can't possibly put a fight scene here, an epic battle at Hogwarts, because that can only happen in one movie, which is the seventh one.
I hated that. It made me so mad because I actually found the way that that battle scene was written in the books. Like, I remember my hands were like convulsing. I was like shaking fight or flight all over my body as I was turning the pages, which like I don't think has ever happened to me in like any book really. And then to think that they didn't get that right, it was like, well, this is like your opportunity of opportunities.
I know. Anyway, like, we will not be upholding a transphobe in our podcast. So I didn't mean to bring that up.
He torrented the movies.
I torrented. I actually did.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you have any thoughts, any resolutions, any goals?
Oh my God. So sad. No, I honestly don't really have that many like goals. I feel like we did goal setting. Like, my new year is September. New year, new me happens at the beginning of the school year. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't actually make any. I wrote some things down for work, some ideas for the year, but not like resolutions. Like, I will do this every day. Just kind of, yeah, goals in general for the year.
Yeah.
But honestly, even then I was like, I'll do that later, and I haven't really done it.
Your New Year's resolution is to make a New Year's resolution, and you didn't even make a New Year's resolution.
So, I mean, I'm excited for this year. I know it's been tough, and I'm more optimistic and more hopeful. I know it will probably still be much longer than we realize till things are back to normal.
And we have to hope science gets ahead of the mutating virus and things like that.
Yeah.
Stakes are kind of high.
I mean, like, spring and summer will come, and hopefully things, regardless, hopefully, knock on wood, will be a little easier at that point when we can hang outside.
Well, that is a great segue to what we're talking about today, which is winter, which is this like constant concept of I'm excited for spring, I'm excited for summer. I mean, you were talking about a pandemic, which makes sense, but I think a lot of people do that outside of pandemic. So we're going to talk today about how science can help you be like, no, we should always be present. If you happen to live in a place where you're stuck in winter, there are things you can do to enjoy it more. And those are some of the things that I think we've been trying to enact in our lives, not in the new year, because winter came early before that. So let's talk about that now.
Well, but first.
Oh, yeah. I forgot how this works. What did we learn this word?
In the words of Julie Chen, or Julie Chen Moonves, as she now says, but first.
What is with you and all your problematic women you like to have hold on this pod?
Well, maybe the women themselves aren't problematic. Maybe it's the men in their lives that have ruined them. Huh? Okay, think about that.
Okay, but I think Julie Chen is problematic was like, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. It was like, okay, wait, what?
Okay, but
the
what
car.
Would you do? Okay, we're not going to get into this. Anyway.
You leave them.
She says, but first a lot. That's all. But first, what did you learn this week?
Oh, what did we learn this week?
I love to enter situations, but first.
Purse first, honey. All right. This week, I learned something that you're going to love.
Okay. Shaking in my booties.
It's related to something that you're very interested in. Generally.
Gay sex.
Yeah. No. I learned how your environment affects your happiness, which might not seem like something you're obsessed
with. I'm like, wait, what?
But recently, Greg became obsessed with birding and identifying all the bird species that are in our neighborhood, in our backyard, in the parks nearby.
Is that a chipping sparrow or just a measly house sparrow? Let's look at the eye line.
Like, literally every time we go on a walk, he's like, oh God, what kind of sparrow is that? I gotta look at the head.
I saw an incredible... a credible flock of European starlings the other day and a blue jay right in the middle on top of a wire. And I was like, I would have walked by that any other day. And here I am like freaking out.
Okay. So the research that came out found that biodiversity in any given area is associated with increased life satisfaction. In particular, more bird species is one of the best indicators for life satisfaction.
Of humans around them?
Of humans around them.
Wait.
Isn't that crazy? So basically, they studied 26,000 European citizens across 26 countries, and human well-being was like self-reported. So they got people to say how they were feeling or how their life satisfaction was, and species diversity was like the richness of taxonomic groups. So birds, mammals, trees, all these things. And what they found out was what I said, the richness of the species was correlated to life satisfaction on a similar magnitude to that of income. So you could predict somebody's life satisfaction just as equally based on like the bird biodiversity in their area.
So people in Costa Rica feeling good.
Possibly. Now, the caveat of this is, of course, the study wasn't claiming that it's causation, but it was like a really good predictor. So, of course, it could be that when there's more biodiversity, it's because there's more parks. It's because there's more green space for the birds to live. And as a result, that maybe is what's making humans happier to be in more natural spaces.
That's interesting.
It was just very, I just thought it was really cool, especially that they were like, the bird species diversity could indicate to you how happy people are.
Well, that's not good for the optimism of life because, you know, biodiversity is decreasing. Birds are all dying en masse and biodiversity is going down across the world. And if you're not aware of that, it's important that we all are aware of that.
Well,
right
then
now.
These studies are more important than ever to show, hey, biodiversity isn't just like these other animals that, oh, who cares? Every species dies eventually. It's like, no, it has a direct impact.
Oh my God.
People say that kind of
stuff. Oh my God, that's
so
horrifying.
Like some people's like perspective might be, oh, well, like every species dies. We can't stop every species.
Yeah, people who are trying to argue against man-made, human-made
climate change. But biodiversity, it is important in so many spaces. Diversity in many ways, so many studies have just shown, like the mix of even just genes, you know what I mean? Like human communities having diverse genes protects against so many different things. So anyway, we should be putting, I think this research can help to influence and enforce ideals of preserving nature.
Yeah, for sure. But also it's funny because it's like we're talking about how to enjoy winter and truly biodiversity decreases in winter when it comes to birds. They're all like, see ya, peace be gone south.
Lots of them aren't though.
Well, the wintering birds stay, but there's much less.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like I'm saying based on that study, yeah, you're right. We're looking right now for the ones that stay here, even some that come from the Arctic, like the dark-eyed Yunko. But for the most part, I'm excited for spring to bird because a lot more come back. I'm just saying, that's interesting. Yeah, like we're trying to be like winter, but it's like one of the things that we're going to learn today, it is important to accept that winter is hard. That can be part of what helps you.
Spoiler alert.
No, but I'm saying it's like, so you know what? Based on that study, you know, a lot of the birds are going to leave for the winter and that might be hard. That's okay.
But it wasn't just biodiversity of birds, right? Like plant species, other animals. And
but
lot
you
of
did
that
say birds for some reason? Or was that something it said in
bird
the...
species was one of the like best indicators.
Wow.
About.
So they made a point.
But
of
they had.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. But they had been looking at just biodiversity in general among lots of
did you say fag?
Lots of factors.
Lots of
factors is what I said.
Fag parse.
What did you learn this week, Greg?
Well, mine's about winter too, sort of about enjoying.
Mine was not about winter.
Sorry, I was leading into winter because of the birds leaving. It's that I didn't realize that trees bud in the summer. So when you look at a tree currently, or a shrub even, there you'll see the buds waiting to erupt forth when the long days come back and the sun starts to shine for longer. But those buds in my head have always been like, oh, okay, they appear I guess sometime in fall or maybe even winter, or maybe even the buds appear in spring is sometimes what people think. But the buds appear in the summer, but you can't see them because there's all these leaves. If it's like a
like
deciduous,
buds to grow new leaves,
the new leaves that are going to grow in spring, that bud will appear in the summer, but it's underneath leaves. So on deciduous trees, you won't see them, or underneath flowers. Like there's all this foliage in the way that you're not seeing them. Then during abscission, which is the scientific name for dropping your leaves in the fall or dropping fruits, it doesn't have to necessarily just be leaves. Then the leaves all fall off and then you see the buds. So the buds were always there. And then also buds are so interesting because technically like that bud erupts, yes, in spring, but it's still there in winter. Like a tree is budding in winter, which I think is sort of an important thing to remember. Like it's not like these trees are dead. They're all budding in winter. They're still alive. And then in the spring is when they're going to get their leaves back.
Like from those buds?
From those buds, yeah.
Wait.
From the buds that were created in the summer.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I know. It's
buds
cool.
Buds for the next
spring in summer. But you can't see them because there's leaves, if it's a deciduous tree, and flowers and all these things in the way. They're underneath the leaf.
What? Why does it do that?
Well, I mean, it probably just has to do with evolution.
I guess that's
and
maybe when it has the most energy to create them.
Yeah, for sure.
And then
yeah.
It goes dormant. True. And then it's like they're ready the second it needs it in the spring. The buds are just like ready to fold open.
So it doesn't spring to life in spring. It's alive in winter.
I had
the buds
no
are
idea.
There.
I definitely thought in spring is when like every part of the tree comes back.
Yeah, that's why right now when you look at trees, you can walk by with your friends and go, oh, look, the tree's budding in the middle of like a dark January day. And they'll say, what? And you'll say, well, it is technically, you know. Yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. And you're definitely right. When I think about it, there are lots of trees right now where you'd be like, oh, there's buds on that tree. But maybe you would in the spring really notice like, oh, they're like a little bit green and opening. So you might more notice them in the spring.
And then it becomes lots of food for birds. I didn't realize a lot of birds eat buds and squirrels eat buds. So it's like kind of fun too. It's like, that's going to be a little bit of food for animals, which is interesting. Anyways.
Well, bud, shall we go to the winter of it all?
The winter weather.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
That was my Margaret Thatcher.
The winter weather.
We're watching The Crown right now, can you tell? Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
The winter weather.
It just sounds like talking like an old person. Like,
well, I think we must go to war.
Wow, we haven't finished it yet, but
yeah, like I think they're going to war. Okay,
don't know what's happening. Yeah, we're like, was there a war we didn't know about?
Every time I watch The Crown, I Google, is this real? Is this real? This is juicy.
Great winter series to be watching. It's kept us occupied.
Okay, let's start with what are some things that you do in the winter differently,
if anything? Become depressed.
And okay. Yeah. True.
Don't leave my house.
Okay.
No. Honestly, like
pandemic or no. Okay.
I think this will be an interesting time and an interesting winter to experience. However, I feel like myself and with your guidance have had a more concerted effort to take care this winter, if that makes sense. So you've been like, we should, you know, let's do birding. Let's go on walks in these parks. Let's be outside. Let's try and appreciate winter and look at the trees and be like, they're not dead. They're going through like a really beautiful, amazing process. And I think that's sort of primed me. And even in previous years, and especially this year, like, let's make sure we take advantage of winter activities that you can't do. Like, let's try and go skiing more often when the snow's there. So I feel like I'll be curious to see how this winter goes, and that's just been a mental shift in general over the past few years for me, because I've always hated winter.
So for those curious or are around the world, our international listeners, we have the sunset, so the shortest day of the year was December 21st, and the sunset around like 4:45 p.m. And when the sunrise, couldn't tell you. I've never been up that early. Like,
and also like it's dark even before 4.
Yes.
Like, it's like, and it's cloudy half the days that it's just like dark. And I feel like at 4, you're like, it's nighttime. It's already night.
And right now it is minus 17 degrees Celsius with the wind chill. So it's very cold, even though it's sunny.
And for our American illiterates who don't use Celsius, because just so you know, most of the world does. just like sometimes it goes to minus 30 Celsius here. And that's around the point at which Celsius and Fahrenheit coexist.
Yeah, so for you Americans, there's that one moment where you actually can understand, and it's around the minus 30 where it's the same.
And obviously there are Americans who experience that type of weather too, especially like those close to the border.
Like in Minnesota.
But there, growing up, sometimes in winter, school would be canceled here because it's too cold to be outside.
Yeah.
Like it's actually, for kids especially, it's like dangerous to have your skin exposed, and your kids are dumb. They just like don't even want to wear their jackets and stuff.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, like, it was a little bit, like, I don't even need my jacket today, sir. And then they go outside and they literally, like, their faces turn, like, red. But I remember recently when we used to live with roommates, and our roommate Sarah came home and she was wearing jeans on one of those really cold days, and she took her jeans off and her legs were, like, so red. Like, they were, like, burnt with, and she was just like, maybe I need, like, long underwear or something.
Yeah, long underwear, one of the best investments of my life. I am obsessed. I'm always cold, always. And so I wear two jackets. I wear a nice puff jacket, and then I throw on a full winter jacket on top of that. And now I must say, wearing a mask, great invention, never going to go back. Because a scarf is like fine, but my jacket covers up to my neck, and I found a mask is just so perfect, because sometimes a scarf can actually be too much in your face and so hot and wet and heavy. Mask is like a perfect barrier for cold wind, and if you want to remove it or like have a breath, you just pull on your chin and it stays, and then it's like, I love it.
But don't you find the gaseous air coming out into the cold air condensing to create a liquid, make it so juicy soupy on the face?
That does happen sometimes, and that's why I'll take it off for a little bit just to like circulate that water out.
Wow, okay, that's interesting.
But I have noticed I love wearing a mask.
I love from now on, even 5 years now, flexing with the mask at the winter party.
It will definitely be more acceptable.
Oh, for sure.
To just be like, oh, I just wore my mask.
I don't get sick now. Like, I used to get sick all the time. I'm like, oh, it's because I would go on the subway and, like, lick my lips after, like, eat chicken wings on the subway or something.
After,
disgusting.
Like, holding a subway pole and then, like, just eating food.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Also, now when a friend comes to a party and they're like, I have a bit of a cold, I'm going to be like, get leave. Out. Do you understand the aerosolized particles are going to stay in this air right now? Leave the party, buddy. You ain't that fun. We don't need you here.
Oh, that's so true. Okay, well, why don't we get into some of the science? Like, do you want to go first or you want me to go first? Okay. So what did you look up about winter and thriving /coping?
Well, mine is about the science of polar bear dips, honey. A little gay Winhoff. What's his name?
Okay,
Winhoff.
Wim Hof, isn't that
his name? Wim Hof.
Hot take, Wim Hof. What do you think?
Wim Hof.
I don't have a hot take. I think, like, obviously he's like this dude that a lot of dudes, like, what's the word, like, prescribe?
So who even
are
is
obsessed
he?
With him? And I'm not. I have no real take on because
he breathes. He breathes well in the cold or something.
Well, his whole thing is that he can sort of control his reaction, his heart rate. Because I guess often when you go into really cold scenarios,
yeah, I'm gonna talk about it.
Okay, I'll let you talk.
No,
about
no,
that.
But I'm curious. But I want to keep going. So he,
I don't know so much about him, but okay. He's able to sort of bear extreme temperatures. Like in the cold, I think he believes it helps with a lot of ailments and mental health and those kind of things.
Bear, he looks like a bear. He's
got
the beard.
He's very rugged and very much focused on like introducing cold in your life and then breathing techniques that allow you to like push through it and not have the sort of shock that would otherwise. Like a lot of people when they fall into cold water, for example, like gasp for breath and go through shock.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay,
so
we'll lead in.
I have really felt that I get seasonal depression in winter. So when I was asking
you
like
you
what
do? That's not to like challenge you, I'm curious about that.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I have always thought that, like, in January and February I'm always like, I kind of, so through therapy I'm like, I genuinely think that I'm quite I'm not optimistic, actually. I think the world's going south and always have, but I'm a happy person, like I enjoy life like thoroughly. But I also sometimes, like, the therapy, I'm like, I want to lean into the sadness. And I really find January, February is a time where I'm like, I'm so sad. And, like, it's like, but it's like, I like, not that I like it, but I'm like, that's, it can be an opportunity, which is one thing that I think is just, like, important. But I read a book called Wintering, which is a new book, which is incredible. It's an incredible book. It's like a poetic /science book that is about a person coping with like having to be inside because of a physical ailment that came out recently that I was like, this book needs to be talked about because we're all going through, whether it's winter, we're going through a type
it's
of
like
winter,
even
even if you're in a really like warm climate, you're still having to deal with like what she would describe as a winter, which is like a time in your life where you become more stagnant, you slow down,
it's
you
kind
stop.
Of isolating, like no matter what, winter is always a little isolating,
which in she argues from like a literary poetic sense is like a beautiful opportunity in life to stop, to be sad, to like, you know, recalibrate. That's sort of like, there's no science in that, but the book is based in that. And then she goes through all these different like scientific things, like, or historical things, like humans would pickle in the fall to prepare for winter, to like keep things sort of like edible in the winter. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So she brought pickling into her life or whatever, like where it's like, oh, that's so cool.
I would love to pick up pickling with you.
Well, there you go. So that would be something that
I
would
love everything pickled. Like truly love. And I don't know why I've never gotten to that, because I guess I just haven't seen myself as a pickler. But
so how to cope or thrive in winter?
Pickle.
December pickle. December pickle. January, February, enjoy your pickled, interesting pickled foods, and sort of rethink about how in the past when we didn't have, you know, like farming that sends us
like
mangoes from freaking but like, you know what I mean, it's mostly we're getting like mangoes from like Costa Rica, like things are cold, right. Like we have refrigeration actually, like
question
outside.
And maybe you don't know the answer, like, is it too late to pickle, and is it because those types of things are out of season now? Is that,
oh, it's not too late to pickle. You could, like, again, we could get whatever, we got a cucumber right now if we want it, because we're an industrialized
and like beans, and like I just feel like there's so many yummy things that are pickled other than just pickles, like even beets or radishes.
Exactly. Oh, We can do whatever we want. We are from Canada. We're so freaking lucky. Just ship us some beets and we'll pickle them. but those sort of the historical context and like maybe a way you could like look forward to being like December's when I pickle and it makes sense and I enjoy my pickled things in January or something like that to help with winter. That's one of your tips, people. But she talks about cold water swimming as something that she picked up as part of writing this book that like truly changed her life. And she anecdotally speaks to some people who have suffered serious depression who are, in their words, cured through this cold water swimming and who in the summer have to actually have ice baths all the time in order to keep up this ritual, because without it, they are actually so sad. So I'm going to talk about the scientific studies, of which there's not too many. So like Wim Hof, for example, I don't know much about him, but I've read through reading these studies about what he says, and a lot of it is not scientifically valid, but some of it is getting there. Yeah, like he's definitely more of a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is what the science is, and then I think there's going to be a lot, kind of like the way we talk about shrooms now, the way we talk about...
Right. There's more to come, probably.
Yes, and it is like the science is promising. Because there's
not science there now doesn't mean that it's not
going to be. But I think there's like a lot of people out there really saying lots of things to make a point to get people to do it, but I'm just like going to tell you what the science is because it's actually not that exciting, but it's interesting. Okay. So you're right. So when you get into the... So I did this recently.
Greg's insane.
Well,
it's insane. It is actually insane. Even people who follow Wim Hof on our comments were like, you should have been breathing before you jumped into that.
Okay. So again, this Wim Hof guy, I'm like, who are you? But I want to talk to you because that's not like what it's not. He's talking about how you can cope to stay in the water longer. And it is all about breathing through the pain. So like eventually you should be able to, after you do this more and more through breathing techniques, be able to stay in this really cold water for 10 minutes, 20 minutes even. So that's like something you have to work your way up to. But someone who's doing it for the first time, it's like people relax. Okay, so when you get into the water, what you had mentioned is the cold shock response, which is what your body will go through, and it will cause you to gasp, which is like something we can all do at home. Just like turn your shower to the coldest... And you will gasp. Like it's like interesting.
It's my nightmare. I can't even describe to you. Like I've like jumped into pools that are like 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Isn't that weird that we measure our pools in Canada in Fahrenheit?
I know.
By the way, like I have no idea what that is.
And so people always tell me their pool temperature. I'm like, girl, I don't know what you're saying.
Like, truly, I should not have dragged Americans earlier because like I am illiterate. Like I just don't know what 80 degrees.
Because your family has a pool. Lucky, I know. And they sometimes will be like, oh, it's 78 today. And then I'll be like, cool. Like, what does that mean? And then I'll be like, it's so cold.
You'll be like, is it about to boil?
Yeah. I'm like, is that hot? It sounds hot. Like what?
But truly, so 80 degrees is to most people. To Greg will be like, this is like bath water. It is not. But to me, it is actually still cold.
Okay. So you definitely have a thing with cold water for sure. but your version of cold, you would start at a warmer temperature to maybe some other people. It still is going to give you maybe a cold shock.
Right. Okay.
And so that response is what makes you gasp, and then you will start to hyperventilate. Again, you can picture this. You get into cold water, you're going to go, without you thinking, you're going to go, but the cold shock gasp is something that I think what those people in the comments might have been saying is that if you are ever caught off guard or you fall in cold water unprepared, it can cause your body to gasp, which means you can take in water and drown. So there's not dangers to this, but what she argues in the book and what these studies say is like if you're preparing and even just consciously going into cold water, it is safe. You're not going to, it's not an uncontrollable gasp, but sometimes what happens is people fall in and then it becomes like more dangerous is what they say. That's just not to like scare people. So that response increases your blood pressure, fats and glucose from your body will then be released because it's fight or flight. Like it thinks something is wrong. It truly thinks your body is going through a stress response. And that is something I can relate to having done it twice in this freezing water. It is like, it is crazy. Like I'm giggling because it's a crazy feeling.
Why do we think this is good?
So what happens, with that comes these beta endorphins, which lead to a sense of euphoria, which I can attest to. I felt so high, like so happy for 3 to 4 hours after you were there. You would go have naps and I would just like be ecstatic reading a book, thinking it's like,
drag me.
You're no, but I'm like, I'm
and
like,
you would go have naps.
No, but we did it.
I love a nap.
No, it's true. It's actually like, I kind of wish
that
like,
the bears know what's going on. They're taking naps. They're not jumping in freezing cold water.
That's true. But I'm trying to say, like, I love a nap too. And I couldn't nap. I felt high. Like, I felt like I was on drugs. So that's the beta endorphins. But the science is what they're starting to realize is through something called cross adaptation. And they've done some pretty small studies, I'd say. So I don't want to claim this as too legit. That training your body to go through that stress response, and it's actually only 6 dips before the cold shock response decreases by half. Again, self-identified. So like,
oh wow,
after 6 dips in the cold water,
like
the people
starts to kind of know what to expect and doesn't freak out.
Yes, you can
as much.
Yeah, so the people will say that they can stay in twice as long, that they feel twice, like, again, it's self responded survey, so it's not like twice, like mathematically or through
they're
any
not,
sort
like,
of
measuring their blood
yeah
pressure,
but they're like, oh my god, I stay in here so long and I feel like it's half as bad or whatever. That cross adaptation of dealing with that stress moment, they think will carry into your life whenever you are faced with psychological stress. So
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
By doing these cold water bath moments, you are training your body to deal with physiological stress. And therefore, in your life, when you are met with stressful situations, you are more calm. And that's where they think the health benefits are coming from. And that's where...
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either until I read these studies. And so they have a really cool study happening right now in the UK with NHS workers working through the trauma of the pandemic. And actually, like, doing double blind, like, cold water dips to try and be like, is this something that is really helping? So that is the more physiological explanation as to why getting in this cold water is like a preemptive way of dealing with the stress that we all feel as these, like, evolved beings who go through lots of stress by, like, I don't know, going on our phones. Yeah.
And, but you're saying there's still like some science to be had here.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's just like, because whenever I read any study,
I don't know. I'm just, I guess I could buy that, but it's like, does, like, then could you not argue that for any psychological stress? Why does it need to be water shocking you? And also, I don't know, psychological stress can also cause trauma. You know, like if you go too far, there's a point where stress can push you to a point that you don't recover from.
Yeah, so I think like that's a
I know
perfectly
there might not be an
valid
answer for
argument,
that.
And I don't
thinking,
think
like,
there is, but
I don't think for me, I'm like, and maybe this is true, I don't know, and I'm just like putting thoughts out there. Does exercise improve your stress response psychologically? Because obviously you're pushing your body to limits. I definitely would think it can help you learn and relate how to like push through moments. I'd be curious if that's the same thing, though, as like having a stress response from something else.
But people say that exercise, for similar reasons, is so beneficial to stress response and to depression.
But not, I've never heard someone say in the moment of being stressed, people who exercise are better at dealing with it.
Oh, yeah, true, true. That's true. And I think that exercise is a lot different. Like, this is actually putting your body through a, like, pretty like insane intense, physical, like, very, like instant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's why I'm also a little skeptical. But all I can say is from my personal experience is that it made me feel very high. And it is quite addictive. Like, every morning now I have, and I add a breath per morning of sitting or standing in my shower in cold water, and it really doesn't feel cold anymore. Like, I'm like, okay, I gotta go.
When I go to the shower and I'm like, why the hell is the dial here? You know, when I can tell like where you left it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna turn that about 10 times warmer. Why is it here?
I just think it's like a fun thing to watch your body sort of adapt. So even one thing that she says is really important. If you feel a pain in the knuckles of your thumbs, that's when you start to know you need to get out, because it's like can be hypothermia. Like, there are dangers to this.
Not of the shower, but you mean like,
sorry, when she's swimming, because she now swims in the ocean in Britain for 20 minutes in the winter.
Wow.
And then it's just, if you feel your thumb knuckles starting to feel pain, because sometimes you're in such a state of like euphoria or whatever, it's hard to know. That's when she knows to get out. And for different people, they have different, their bodies regulated differently. But yeah, like I know what you're saying. And one thing I'll say is that this is a physical stress.
Right.
So like you...
Obviously there's levels of psychological stress that come from physical stress, right? Like you have to mentally understand... Like the more you can contextualize psychologically, it's going to impact your physiological stress.
But I'm more mean like I could see what you were saying, where it's like people who are exposed to traumatic or stressful situations, I'm assuming like more mental situations... aren't necessarily like gonna, you know, get better or better. Like, it's not necessarily a good thing, but this is like is it purely not a mentally damaging thing. It's like a purely physical stress response. It's just something I find is interesting. It's like, you're not upset. In fact, you feel euphoric and you feel quite happy and proud and accomplished in doing this thing.
Yeah, I would imagine I'm imagining that it's similar to a lot of other like extreme sports and stuff. Like, you get the adrenaline rush. People can become sort of addicted to those things because and any sort of physical experience that intense will make you feel alive, because you're like so aware of your body in that moment.
And if you're
just not for me,
And if you're and if you're one of those physical sports people too, who like to see their bodies sort of change, or even working out, you want to see that maybe your muscles like are bigger, or that you can run further. It's like very tangible way that your body changes quite quickly to handle this cold water. So I think that could be another part of it too. Just people who like to feel like they're evolving. They're like, oh, I can now be in the water for longer.
It's cool as long as it's safe. I think there should hopefully be more research onto that and understanding if it's actually. You know, are there risks associated? Obviously, there'll be people who have maybe heart conditions or things that.
Yeah, so that is the main thing. Like, young kids, older, elderly people, and people with heart conditions. When you Google polar bear dips and like how to do it, and it's like set up a towel, bring warm socks. Like, it's like if you have any of those conditions, like be careful. But I'm gonna go tomorrow. I'm gonna go to Lake Ontario tomorrow and jump in,
what?
Baby. And I think I might bike there.
You disgust me.
Okay, so this is what you do. You wear your underwear and you wear socks, because if there is snow, your bare skin on your feet could get stuck to the snow. You don't want that. You bring a towel. You jump in, and also preferably naked too if you don't want to deal with your underwear, because you have to take the wet underwear off. You dry off after. You get under a nice warm blanket, even outside still in the cold, because you'll notice that you don't feel that cold from the air anymore because you've just gotten in this really cold water. You dry off and you sit in it. You don't have to like rush to warm up, because you will feel this sort of like euphoric feeling that you're kind of like, you can bask in it a bit. Like, I went back inside after jumping in that cold water and was just like naked in the house for like 4 hours. Just like, like, you don't feel that cold.
Yeah, and your body probably like turns on all its heaters. It's like, okay, we're warming up.
Yeah, your skin's, your white ass skin, if it's me, turns like red because your capillaries are like trying to get all the blood everywhere. Yeah, it's interesting. So,
real talk. What do you think? Like, why do you think you do it, and what do you need from it that you're not getting from other parts of your life?
That's so funny. Like, yeah, so what is that?
I'm not trying to, like, I'm just curious. Like, so for me, obviously, there is literally zero appeal. And the fact that you, and I get like doing a one off, like, I've been skydiving and it was fun, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now
you just told me you're going to go tomorrow, and I'm like, why?
Because okay, so it was one of the best drugs I've ever done. You. Wait, but no, I'm serious because okay. It's like when you do drugs, there's always negative right. effects. Yeah, like it's like you're hungover like, or you feel dumb.
Okay,
but I felt everything but that. I didn't get hungover. I just felt like life was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I get you. I guess I've had experiences like that. I'm just like, this isn't going to be one for me. It's like that's what I feel every time I get into a normal temperature pool. Yeah.
So maybe you're going through cold shock. It's just like a normal ass 80 degree pool. Like actually.
Oh my God. Like probably.
But you're right. Like I'm a type of person who I live life in a way that I'm like, I want to do things like that because I'm like, well alive. I can see how I can justify doing things like that more easily than other people because I'm like, I live my life always like that. Like I want to try everything once. And then this one happens to be a bit addictive.
Yeah. I guess cold is such a hard spot for me. I've always been, and actually my whole family is like weirdly afraid of being cold. And your family is not, I feel. Yeah. And like you definitely grew up in like a much colder house than I did.
Yeah, it's true. Like when you think about adaptation, it was yeah. like, yeah.
I've just been like primed to always want to be like in a nice cozy space.
But you've started to like cross country ski, which is really cold. And that, well, once you warm yourself up, it's not. But it's like when you start, it's like, oh my God, I'm freezing.
But you're not like naked. Like it's not that different than walking outside in winter.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's not like somehow colder than a regular.
But you handle the cold well, is what I'm saying. Like for the most part.
If I'm prepared, Greg, I truly wear like so many layers of clothes when I'm going outside.
Like you look like Joey from Friends.
Long underwear, long socks, multiple layers like t-shirts, sweater, two jackets. I wear two pairs of gloves. Like when I go outside, yeah, I have a small pair of gloves for underneath and then I wear another big pair of gloves on top.
Like, whenever like he has to do something, he's like, well, it's just so hard because he's like taking off like 17 gloves. Yeah, Greg will be like,
can you open get your phone? I'm like, well, I have to take off all my gloves if I'm going to use my phone. So like, do I really need to get my phone out?
So you're not getting in the cold water.
I mean, it's not to say that.
I didn't even think to ask you. That's so funny. I'm like,
it's not to say I would not do it once, but it's certainly not something I'm imagining. Like I would get in a hot tub, girl, in a second.
That's not what I asked. So, like, let's say tomorrow I was like,
why is the hot temperature not?
Let's go to...
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no, absolutely okay. not. No. I might come and watch you, like, if you want me to come for the journey and to make sure you don't die.
Do you think you ever would before, speaking of die, you die? Like, it's possible. Just, it's just not something you're...
That's why I'm like, I'm maybe when I'm having an existential crisis or, like, a midlife crisis, and that's why I ask, like, what are you not getting from life? But it is a pandemic.
Girl, so we're in a pandemic. What am I not getting from life? Do you want me to start the list at the top or the bottom? Because I got hundreds of things to say. I don't know, like physical affection.
So your advice is polar bear dips. I'm going to go through some advice as well. Is there anything else you wanted to add to yours?
No, that mine was just those like specific
studies. That's cool.
Studies
no, and... I think that's really cool. And I do think I've slowly learned in my life to push my... Like I've always been sort of averse from especially physical ways of pushing myself. And I don't know if that's gay trauma because I've always been afraid of like...
Go deeper, say more.
I just always have associated sport and even exercise and fitness with a thing that I am not welcome to. And so, you know, I've been on sort of a fitness journey over the last few years, especially because I have back problems. And only recently have I finally been like, oh my gosh, no, I can be athletic. I can be fit. Huh. I can push myself in a way. And
yeah, you and are.
I always, even in the gym, I'm just like, oh, but I'm weak. I'm so weak. And eventually like the people I work with as trainers for my back have been like, you're not weak. Like you're not that weak.
And that's so I know exactly what you mean. Like when you're like the gay resorting, like even though like I think I can like lift strong weights, like if I'm around a guy, I'll be like, I just can't lift it.
Yeah. Or I I give up really early. Not like I'm not so weak, but I definitely always am like, I can't do it.
No, I can't do it. Come help me, daddy.
And they're like, yes, you can. It's like, it's my brain that's stopping me. Anyway. And
but
so
you're, like, what about your straight siblings, aka all your siblings? And like, dude, like your dad also really doesn't like cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not necessarily just
but
a
they,
gay thing.
That's true. And, but they definitely like fit in the fitness world more than you. Not that they're like, I just feel like as straight people, they probably felt more comfortable in sports. And you're right. Maybe the cold thing's not related to that, but I was just like, I don't know why it feels like that space to me. And I'm like, maybe I should push myself more in that space because I'm finally with exercise being like, no, I want to try and lift a weight that's heavier than I ever thought I would lift.
I'm going to be like, oh, I'm going to push you into the cold water. You do the cold grasp and then you die. And I'm like, whoops, that backfired.
See, because I'm the person who would have a heart attack. And that's also my fear. No, I'm not joking. Like, you know.
I'm like, Mitch, let's go together, holding hands. We go under. I come up. I'm like, his hand's like, kind of limp. Oh, he is having a heart attack. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are therapy obsessed over here. I felt about 5 years ago that something felt off in my life. And so I started therapy and it was honestly probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. So if you feel that something is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, go to betterhelp.com/sidenote. That is betterhelp.com/sidenote to take charge of your mental health with an experienced professional. And with a special offer for Sidenote listeners to get 10% off your first month. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. You log in to your account anytime and send messages with your counselor to get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy for you and free for you to change counselors if needed, which is really important. Personally, I find that to be really hard and challenging if you aren't using something like BetterHelp. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/sidenote and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Okay, I have some advice for winter. Basically, I was looking up research on just like what are some tips from psychologists, psychological tips to cope with, especially this winter because we're in a pandemic. So it's not only just like dealing with this season that I've always called awful, but I'm going to call, you know, unique and beautiful now.
When did you stop calling it awful, do you think? Or it just
like
now?
A year ago. Like, honestly, within the last couple of years, I've been like, I have to stop doing that.
Oh, wow.
And I will say what has helped is being older, and not for the reasons you think. It's because time goes so fast that part of my coping mechanism is like, oh my God, like, it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. Like, when you're young, winter truly feels like 17 years. And it's awful when you don't like winter. But now I'm like, no, this year has gone by and it's over and it's gone. So I kind of want winter to go slower.
Yeah, like namaste, be present. Yeah, true. Okay.
Part of the tips from like sort of psychologists touch on what you did. It's like find sort of activities and things that you can enjoy, obviously, right? And that's like a really important part. But one of the most sort of significant things that stood or kind of stuck with me that when I was researching was to instead of thinking about like your negative feelings and how you can deal with them, think about what I need to look at my notes here. Sorry. okay. This is what they said. Instead of trying to find individual things, find a guiding principle that can tie everything together. And the one that they found works the most is to focus on others. So a big problem with just like in general, people who deal with negative thoughts and feelings, anxiety, depression. But I think a lot of people experience this in winter because they're isolated and lonely, is that you focus so much on yourself. Like a lot of it is realizing.
AKA me jumping in cold water, be like, come on, come on.
Exactly. Because you're probably self-aware, being like, I don't feel that happy. I'm like, I'm not seeing my friends. I'm like feeling stressed.
Yeah.
And that self-reflection is what causes unhappiness in people. Or sorry, like that's one part. And obviously there is like diagnosed unhappiness and mental disorders. So like this isn't exactly going into that area. But for people who feel generally happy and are experiencing these moments, it's like, try and focus on other people. So it's called small self by psychologists, and it's to really disproportionately emphasize the lives of other people as opposed to yourselves can obviously give you perspective.
Which is hard to do right now when you're alone at home in winter.
Oh, totally. It's interesting. And you're just like, oh my God, every day, like it's freezing outside. I've got to put on 10 different layers. I'm like not seeing my friends. I'm in a pandemic. Like it's very easy to see everything in your life. And I think of the times that I've been the most unhappy in my life, it's like when you really are reflecting so much on all the negative aspects of your life, right? Wow. So yeah, they had just said a healthy sense of proportion between your own self and the bigger picture of the world around you is really important. So psychologists break this down into three main sort of categories to help you practically think about this. So number one is a sense of social connectedness. Obviously, this one's a little harder in a pandemic, but it is like people who spend time with others are happier. There's a study that they did for 80 years following like many, many people. And they found that those who have good relationships with their family, friends, and community are happier. A bigger predictor of happiness than money, IQ, or fame.
Yeah. That's a consistent thing in all our ASAP science videos. Yeah. We're like, okay, hang out with your friends.
Yeah. A hard thing is that a lot of people, I think, know that. And it's hard to live that. And I find that too. It's like, even when intellectually I know that is true, I know if I have a Zoom call with my friend at night, I will feel better. It's like sometimes hard to get to that point. It's kind of like the gym.
Yeah, I think it's hard in a pandemic because of what you even just said, the Zoom thing. Like,
yeah,
in real life.
But there's like, a barrier in real life to go meet a friend. Like at least Zoom, it's like you don't have to leave your house to have that psychological entertainment.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So speaking about me, even though I'm going to practice small self, but speaking about me, in the real world, which I know is right now, in the real world is just that we're in a pandemic, but in the like before time, I find it very easy to make plans and to socialize. Whereas I really do find it harder in a pandemic. Like I don't like, not that I don't like Zoom calls,
no, but it's not
easier
natural
for me to not do a Zoom call than it is in the real world to get out of my house and go do things. Whereas I think sometimes for you, you kind of are like, it's actually harder for you to go out and do things. And maybe the Zoom call might be helping you.
No, but I really don't like Zoom calls, except I like one-on-one sort of hangout Zoom calls. But I find when the big groups, it's just like a lot. It's difficult to hear people. It's hard to like have natural conversations.
Then that's what I mean.
Like, but I think, yeah.
You can hang out with people a lot.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Just like doing one-on-ones with friends. And
walks.
Reading this research, I was really just like, oh my gosh. Even though sometimes beforehand I'm like, I'm like stressed. I have too much work I want to do. It totally takes you out of yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're just talking and laughing with a friend, like it is a full distraction. That's like what you need to find that small self, I think. Yeah. So even though in that case you're not like being such a like great person in the world and doing charity, it's just like taking you out of yourself. Obsession.
Does it talk? Okay, so now does it talk about being charitable or?
Okay, so the next two, sense of purpose. I think that one kind of like makes sense in general, but studies on loneliness find that the best interventions tend to focus not on decreasing loneliness, but on increasing people's sense of purpose. And so this can be done in a variety of ways, obviously. You can have like a bigger life purpose, but there's some amazing quotes of even people who are like Holocaust survivors who were like came out saying like they were happier because they were able to hold on because they always really had a sense of purpose of what they were trying to do. And I think people who get like who don't have that same meaning in their lives, and I experienced this as well. It's like, what is the purpose of my life? It's hard, you know?
Yeah.
Like when, what are you doing it for? One really cute example I saw given out. There
was there
like
a winter? Okay, yeah, sorry. What's the example?
Well, this was one that was just like, you could be part of citizen science. So there's like an app.
Birding, eBird, that's what I do.
Exactly, yeah. Like just something simple. How do you kind of join a community that makes you feel like what you're contributing is for a bigger picture, right? Something that's not something you can just do on your own. But there's one called like Cocorahs, C-O-C-O-R-A-H-S. Tracks rainfall. People just buy like one little rain tracker and then you update your info and it helps literally scientists use data all around. I think in this case it was America, but I'm sure there's versions for the world.
There's very easy birding ones that I do now.
Yeah.
And I always feel bad because I'm like, I saw the bird. Is that okay? And I put it in. I'm like, does that count?
Right. And so that doesn't need to be like your purpose of your life.
Yeah.
But it can give you a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. In feeling like you're part of something bigger.
And I'm always like, hopefully I got that cardinal. Like cardinal, when I type in cardinal, I'm like, well, I know for sure that was a cardinal. But when I'm like,
right, yeah, when you're like,
what kind of chickadee?
A sparrow, you're like, there's too many.
Yeah. Then like Harvard reaches out. They're like, we cannot believe they're coming to you. The toucans? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it was a plastic bag. Like, oh, shit. Did I say toucan?
Oh, my God. Okay. And the last type of sort of thing to think about when you're thinking about this smaller self is a sense of inspiration. This one was linked to gratitude, which I know is like kind of a buzzword now.
But it's like, let it be a buzzword.
For real, yeah. And we often talk about how, like, sometimes things can feel really basic, but that's because they are sometimes, like, really true in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And yes, people perform it, and it can feel really inauthentic because there are lots of people selling products that have to do with gratitude that, you know, like, are trying to
Or, like, that, like, you buy it at, like, Winners, and it's, like, a cursive sign that's, like, I'm grateful. Yeah. And they put it on their wall, and they're like, I'm grateful.
Yeah, I think that creates barriers for people to feel like, oh, it's so, like, tropey to try and, like, have a gratitude.
But there's a reason why there's a sign that says, I'm grateful, that's being sold. Because it's, like,
So studies show that gratitude helps protect us from stress and depression. And one thing I found interesting is that when doing something like a gratitude journal, it's like, hey, it's not the amount you do it. So even just like once a week, and it's not the amount of things you write down. So they found that people who write like big lists aren't getting as much from it. It's really finding like one little thing and writing a bunch about it because you're really savoring it, right?
That's so funny because I journal and I sometimes will just be like, you know, you got to do your gratitude one. And I'll start listing things. And then, like, when I like to reflect through my journal, I'm like, these gratitude lists suck because they're the same thing.
Right.
But it's like, no, wait, take the time that you're just listing. Yeah. Stop and think one. What's an interesting, unique, like,
okay. Or even, it doesn't even have to be that unique. It could just be,
I
am feeling really grateful, like, even just for this coffee I have. And let me talk about why it, like, feels so good.
Yeah.
What that taste is like, what that, like, ritualistic experience of having it is to just, like, stop and really focus on it.
Oh my God, my gratitude lists suck. Like, now that I think about it, they're so basic.
I love my dog. I love my family.
I'm grateful for my lungs for breathing. I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for my boyfriend. I'm grateful for my friends and family that I can't see. And then I, like, stop. I'm like, well, that was great. I feel better. And then I move on.
For 10 seconds, it feels better.
Yeah.
So that for me was just like some general.
Those are interesting because they're not specific to winter, but there are definitely things that would come in handy in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that, like, those things you could use at all times, and even people who don't go through a winter. But I could see why it's really important in winter, especially, like, that one about the small self is so interesting. And it's one reason why I think that the holidays, despite what you celebrate, there's a lot of gift giving around it, which I think is really cool. And, like, yeah, it's like giving gifts is a great way of
to not be about just yourself.
Yeah, and I think people are really charitable around the holidays. Like, I find it is a time where it's like you would have a small self, hopefully that's part of the journey. It's like, Christmas, okay, kids, Christmas isn't about the gifts for you. It's about giving. But, like, which is true, kind of. And it's like, that's a weird thing that happens really early on. Like, you know, 4 days after the definition of winter is December 25th, that it's like, how do you keep doing that through the harder parts, like the Februarys, the Januarys? Because it's like, that is really cool that there's this ritual set up to do it, but then it disappears really early on.
Yeah, it's like Christmas should be in the January.
Yeah, yeah. and the focus, again, needs to be on, like, not necessarily products, but, like, really giving people, like, time or giving to people who need it. That's, I don't know. I find that is interesting because I think a lot of the things that I've been doing from this book, which I really liked, have been quite selfish. Like, they're like,
this was not to say this all sort of started by saying, you know, definitely focus on those, like, those acts for yourself, but to make sure you're not they're not all in opposition to
things
that are negative.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I just mean that's like, these are really two things, like getting in the ice water are two things in tandem. But one thing that she also mentioned is that she now encourages, like, and I'm trying to talk to two friends to come and do it with me tomorrow because it is something we can do in a pandemic outside. So it's like sharing that, even like helping be like, this is what you need, like bring a blanket.
Totally.
And then, like, doing that experience is like a form of giving or time with friends. Like, that's just, it's just really good to think of those because I think a lot of the time.
Then you'll be able to be grateful after and think about that experience.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of the time there's this instinct, it's like, okay, get the UV lamp because you're suffering. Like,
but that's the thing people do and it's real.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, a lot of the ones when I went to research for this podcast, was thinking of those really tangible, very internal things to cope. But really to thrive, it's like, no, it's actually about giving to others. And it's hard right now because we're in a pandemic to spend time with others. But
just make sure, be social. Yeah, go on walks outside or just call people. Like, texting, calling.
What?
Like,
like, I've never called anyone in my life.
I know,
it's
true. But yeah, I think phone calls are nice. Sometimes I'm actually like, maybe it's better than video calls.
Whenever I get I think so too. Because then you can just like...
And you can just be doing, you just put your phone down. You have to, like, hold it the whole time.
But whenever my phone rings, it's like, that's when I get fight or flight. That's my stress response. I'm like, what the hell? Why are you calling me?
Yeah, it's like, text it me. Has to be a telemarketer.
That's so bad. Okay, well, that was good. I mean, I confidently can say that I really like winter this year. It's usually the harder parts for me are like end of January, February even, yeah, into March. So I'm going to try and
March
see what
happens.
And March
is sometimes the hardest because you really always expect that March is going to be. That's when it turns, and sometimes it doesn't. And my birthday is in March. And that's really hard for me.
Yeah, and for me.
And I might have a second pandemic birthday.
Yeah, I think you're going to have it. I think you're going to have that. And also, for me, it's like, okay, like I went cross-country skiing in High Park in Toronto. It was so fun, but you need snow. And I'm looking out in Toronto. I'm like, okay, we got a little bit of a Russia without snow vibe going on. It's gray. There's not even snow. It's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes these things are like, appreciate winter with the snowfall and the spring. Right. And it's like, well, what happens when there's not any snow and it's actually just like cold and gross?
I know. How do we do it? I guess that's when it's just like,
even birding, it's like always gray. And,
the birds are gone.
Or you need the sun to see the color. I'm like, well, that's a gray bird. They're like, well, actually with sun, it would be beautifully fluorescent. But it looks gray for you right now.
Yeah, you can't rely. You just gotta, like, it is just internal, which is sad. You gotta
finish. Us ending this podcast by being like, I'm sad, fuck it. I'm kidding.
No, we can do it. And like you said, I liked what you said at the beginning, where it is just a form of dormancy.
Yeah.
Thinking about nature and how much of nature goes dormant in especially this part of the world.
Recalibrate.
And that's okay. I think so much of that kind of sort of normal suffering, because obviously there's extreme suffering, is to just be like, this is just the way it is. Yeah. And that's okay. And that's like a cycle. And then when we come out of it, it can be even more beautiful. We can really, really appreciate the things we have by going through these times of like a little bit.
Okay. Am I doing a podcast with Oprah? Okay. Nailing it over here, guru.
Thanks, Gail. Is that her name?
Yeah, I'm Gail. I'm like on MSNBC being like, everyone's fucking racist. I love her. She's so good at just being like, no, this world is truly fucked.
And if you aren't watching this on YouTube, you've missed this beautiful light display we have behind us because it is the sun shining, and that's something to celebrate. The sun. Greg's face is not looking too pleased, but it's
wait, what do you mean? I was smiling.
Oh, it looked like a constipated smile.
Oh yeah, well that's just, yeah, that's my little jokey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, jokey. Anyway,
okay,
I'm excited for this winter. I think we can be happy. We're gonna pickle, so we're gonna do, and we're gonna be grateful.
Okay, you lead the pick.
All the falls. Grateful. No.
Okay. Pickle, okay. Grateful. I'm okay. The olds.
All the olds. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Hashtag Side Note Podcast if you want to talk to us about your winter plans. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on YouTube. We're all the places, girl. Thank you. And excited for the new year. Let us know if you have thoughts, ideas for all that kind of stuff. I don't know. This is what people say on the internet, right?
Yeah, that was great. No, you nailed it.
Thank you. Okay, love you guys. See you later. Bye. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.